This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Fat Barry, Skinny Barry, and Nick till four. I say that because after that line last week, I've decided that I am going back to the Barry commitment, and I am going to go balls to the walls on all aspects of the lifting, the cardio, the eating right, all of that. I had my final heyday. You said that last week.
What did I say?
I think someone took a picture of us sitting there at Revelry, and you went, yeah, that should be captioned Fat Barry, Skinny Barry.
Oh!
And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay.
We were sitting next to each other, and I think we were even sitting the same, like both of us had our arms folded because it was cold in there.
Yeah.
And someone took a picture, and I was like, yeah, it's like that before and after. It's Fat Barry, and that was Joel, and I'm Skinny Barry.
Yep. I didn't see that. I missed that.
Yeah. That's a damn shame.
So you're going balls to the wall.
So I got my last cheat meal out of the way last night.
What'd you have?
Oh, I had no choice. I can't leave the house and the kids going to sleep, so I ordered Falbo Brothers.
Oh, that's great. A great cheat.
I mean, just the final finisher. Just get it out of the way with the best.
So you went deep dish on it this time?
Yeah. I brought the other half in, and there might still be some, but dude, people were having a field day with it earlier.
I had barbecue, the pit room.
Yeah, where did you get? Have lunch at? You do that after or before?
On Friday.
I saw the picture. Was like, man, that was a lot of food.
Yeah, AJ and I went to the pit room and had lunch, and I swear to God, that Friday morning I was like 188.3. I woke up like almost 4 pounds heavier on Saturday morning.
In one day,
and I still haven't lost it. And I tried to do pretty good this weekend. I was out in the yard 2 days straight. Like,
wow. It's crazy because I saw that picture on Twitter, and really the mac and cheese stood out to me.
Oh,
like even more than I don't even know why.
So good.
Even more than the barbecue.
Yeah.
I was like, that looks good.
It was really good, but I was like,
it looked good.
I was like, oh boy, I've really blown the diet there. Good thing I got that fat Joel joke in, or Fat Barry joke.
Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to be like Forrest Gump.
I think I have low T. I really do. Like, I should be.
Well, you should be going down the hall to the sales department and tell them to do something about it.
I know. I've said it before. I need these guys to hook me up because I have no energy to be able to work out. It's a struggle. Like, once I plateau on my weight, like, honestly, I think I have low T. I'm 43 now. That's prime candidate for low T, right?
No, I just think you don't work out enough, like we all do. Except for Joel. Joel's an exception. He's disciplined.
But that's what
you
I'm
and
saying.
I, we
Nick,
don't work out
but
at
Nick,
all.
Like running, because I know I will like shed pounds running.
Yeah.
I dread running like the plague. Like, I know what you're talking about from the standpoint of mentally, if I get an invite to go play hoops, you don't have to ask me twice, and I'll play for as long as you want to play. But if I got to go run 3 or 4 miles, Lisa says, just put your shoes on and go get a quick three in, and I'm going, because she's a runner. And I'm going, from a mindset, I would rather take thumbtacks in my ass cheeks. Running to me is just,
those are very specific sort
hate
of pain.
It, but you got to do it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I hate running, too. I hate running so much. Like, I try to get into swimming because I feel like it's a little bit easier, but when I'm told it's not. It's actually more of a workout.
You don't realize it as much, I think, because you're not seeing your like the sweat on your shirt and all that stuff. But swimming is, it's really good for you. But I'm not a big swimmer either. But like Saturday, I played hoops and we ran out of guys pretty quick. We only got like 3-4 games in. I normally would have packed up my stuff and gone home. I'm like, no, Fat Barry's going into the gym and we're getting back on the weights.
So he pretends like my words don't hurt.
No, I just get them so much that eventually they're like Teflon, and you start getting a little the hail dents, but you just don't take them as to heart as much.
It's like a bulletproof vest, right? Like one shot isn't going to do it, but you shoot a bunch, and it starts.
Dude,
to
I'm not
going
to lie to you. Sunday morning, waking up after having not lifted weights in about 2 months,
I bet you were hurting.
Ooh, that's a different kind of sore I didn't miss.
I have this like. Badass gym at the house. Like, it's I need to find it and show you guys. It's like a grand, this home gym I have. Like, the weights and all that. And I swear to God, we bought it when we moved in. That was 2 years ago. I have not used it yet. In 2 years, I have not worked out one time
just like that,
on this
dude.
Gym at
I'm
the
just
house.
Like that.
Now, I'll go in and walk around it, step over it, you know, hang clothes on it, whatever. But I don't know why I can't motivate myself. Now, I can go run. I'll get out and go run. I'm the opposite. I can go, yeah, I'll go knock out 2.5-3 miles, you know, even getting started.
With a headband?
No, why would I run
I just picture you with like a bandana headband when you're running.
No.
Like a Cliff Robinson type of headband?
No, not that headband. Like a bandana from Hell's Angels.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like tied up
like
around
a,
your...
What is a dude from Poison?
Yeah, Bret Michaels.
Yeah.
I could see you doing the Bret Michaels. Get the little... Feel it in the wind. Or almost like prime time when Dion had it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I don't do that. No? I don't do that. No, I stopped doing that in, late 90s?
Do you wear the officially store-bought tank tops?
No, I actually run in either Nike shirts or just like Nike t-shirts.
The dry fits or?
No.
Regular cotton?
I'm not putting my big ass in a dry fit.
Why?
Are you kidding me? Like
these are dry fits.
Mommy, look, the Michelin man is running. Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, it doesn't have to be like super tight.
Yeah, this is a dry fit. Long sleeve.
No, I still wouldn't wear that. It still accentuates your spare tire. Like, I'm not doing that. No, I'll just throw on a t-shirt and... I do have, like, running shorts. I do have one pair of hoe shorts, I guess.
The Snuggies?
No, the real short running shorts.
That's what I mean, that they have the little kind of, like, U-shape
where
with
I'm
the
like,
slits on the sides that go up with the runners where you better hope that they're wearing some kind of undergarment because otherwise the side door is going to be used.
Yeah, that I have one pair of those, and every once in a while I'll just bust those out to embarrass my wife. And I'll just, you know, I'll sit out in the front, circle drive, stretching, like, real big, Richard Simmons style.
Yeah, those are like Richard Simmons shorts.
And
she's
just like, would you just please go run and get back in the house? You're embarrassing me. I'm like, no, I'm good.
Is he still missing, by the way?
Who?
Richard Simmons, like, disappeared, like, about 6 months ago. Oh, they can't find him.
It's almost like a blast from the past for me at this point.
What, Richard Simmons?
Yeah
I haven't heard from him a lot for a while either.
He disappeared, and they said he went through all kinds of, like, depression issues and stuff, but they're not... No one's concerned he's dead, but no one can find him. So that's... an interesting scenario.
Hey, Red is checking in on Twitter. I got you, but he said tweet a picture of that home gym. I'm looking for a good one. It's badass, dude. It like does
no. So
I'm gonna go find it.
Nick's seen our house.
Mm-hmm.
We have two really good bikes, recumbent, upright, and then we've got an unbelievable treadmill. Lisa loves it, and she can crank out 12, 16 miles at a time. Nothing. When I told you how bad I dread running, Nick. I dread it even worse if she goes, just go knock out 3 on the treadmill.
Yeah, see, the problem
with, oh, my God, that's excruciating.
I'll start running, and then I'll start thinking about, wait a second, I'm getting pretty far from the house. I have to run back. I'm going to stop right here and just turn around now.
Well, that's what you do.
No, I don't mind that, because I've measured out now. I know how far around my neighborhood are certain distances. Yeah. But, like, on the treadmill, I got to put a towel over the screen, because if I know how far I've gone... I just keep watching it.
That's
going,
smart,
oh,
actually.
My God, I got to keep going until
I wouldn't
want
to look at the TV either.
In there?
Yeah, I got a big-ass TV, but I got to find a really good program to keep me occupied.
There's two times when I do the best as far as, like, writing my jokes, and that's when I'm in the shower or when I'm running. And so I'll go run, and that really clears my head and lets me think.
There you have
it's,
it.
It's good.
All right, so we've got plenty more to get to. The Rockets have a game tonight against the Denver Nuggets in a back-to-back. And speaking of back-to-backs, this weekend, your James Harden did something no one's ever done before. So we'll touch on that, talk about the game tonight, and some other news and notes around the NBA as we continue to roll on. We are the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5. To the sky, to very high.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Look here. I ain't promising you getting the Backstreet Boys out of this deal, because I know some of you boy band boppers are hoping to God they're there, but that's Florida Georgia Line. That's God, your mama, and me. in that order, okay? God, Your Mama, and Me. If you want to see God, Your Mama, and Me performed by Florida Georgia Line, you get to the rodeo, because the rodeo is going on and it is killing it in Houston, Texas. You want to be there. Tons of stuff going on, and for just $18, you can see the best music like Florida Georgia Line, rodeo action, shopping, fine food, and of course, carnival fun for the whole family. Get your tickets at rodeohouston.com. And again, God, Your Mama, and Me. It's just that simple sometimes, boys. Wow. Okay, and there you have it. If you didn't believe me, take it from them. Is that another tune that's catchy that you're going to...
I had no idea that this song existed at all. But, I mean, Backstreet Boys, they're trying to make a comeback, so...
Backstreet's back.
Oh, right. Yeah?
Oh, all right. That's right, yeah. Close enough.
Sorry, whatever.
You would go see them?
Who?
The Backstreet Boys?
No. Okay. I would not.
I actually feel better about you now.
I totally would not go see them.
I worked with people that still to this day wear like Donnie Wahlberg buttons. And like if they come...
Who the hell still wears buttons?
I worked with girls... I work with girls, women in the office that literally when they came to town the last couple times, the buttons... The t-shirts, the whole New Kids on the Block thing was still like way, way too serious.
Do you remember the fad of wearing a Blue Jean jacket with buttons all over it?
I never did it, but I do. Yes.
You never did it?
No.
I had my Van Halen button, my Journey button, different concert buttons all over it.
You had a Journey button?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. You know, did you wear checkered Vans? You know, no, I like Journey.
Yeah. Checkered Vans, of course.
Spicoli, dude.
Why wouldn't you? That was the cool thing to do.
But isn't that, Nick, have you seen the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No.
That's what I thought. I remember you saying that.
Jesus, Nick.
That is a classic.
I'll check it out, but I've never seen it, no.
I think even today you will enjoy it.
Somebody asked, why am I writing jokes in the shower? Did I see something there that I think is funny?
I'm sure you get good ideas in the shower.
If you people at home could see his face right now. That's just another reason why we should have cameras during breaks and during times like that. Because you know what happened when you read that? It. Whoever texted that to you is just going.
I feel like they high-fived themselves.
Yes.
I really do. I feel like somebody was driving and
if we could split screen that and show your face versus the person that texted that and how funny they thought they were.
I give them credit. That's why I read it. You know.
Wait, look at you with your rap and flow.
What?
I gave them credit. That's why I read it.
Oh. See there?
You got to go see Florida Georgia Line tonight, don't you?
I told you I used to be an MC.
Well, God, Your Mama, and Me, I'll believe in you.
I did one rap concert. It was one of my first ones that I ever did, and I got booed off stage. It was the worst.
Did you have like a stage name, like MC Giggles?
I had several different MC Giggles. No, I had several. I had several different rap monikers that I went by.
Please bless us all.
Trying to remember the first one was, oh God, what was it? I don't remember. One of them was Boom Boom. I don't know how I got that. Yeah. And then
Boom Boom and Tum Tum could go on tour.
Hey!
Tum Tum Sharara and Boom Boom Laminat could hit the road.
Tummy Tum Boom. Hey, we could make a
with a Tum Tum Boom.
Look at that. We could make a group. You want to do a hip hop group, Nick?
Absolutely. If it
makes Tum Tum and Boom Boom.
I don't know about the Tum Tum part.
What?
If it made money, I would totally be called Tum Tum.
Would you?
Yeah, I wouldn't care.
You're like, but right now it's not. So both.
It's not making me any money. Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to remember. I forgot what my other rap name was when we got a little more serious. When we almost got signed to a record label at one point.
But really?
That was long after. Yeah, it was. Remember, I was telling you when you had Crab Walker and his song on. That was his nickname was Crab, Chris Walker.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we almost got signed to his record label.
That's right. Yeah.
And then, but when I first did it, it was at a club called Kokomo's, and I went up on stage by myself. And I thought I was going to kill him. I was like, get ready, because this is, y'all are about to see a white boy do his thing.
Was this
and
the lyrics from Eminem?
No, this was way before Eminem's time.
I'm saying, this was
89 or 90?
But you know, mom's.
I know. Yeah. But this was like 89, 90. So this was way back before all that. And I got on stage, and y'all, I was so confident. I just knew I was going to kill him with it. Because all my friends had heard it and were like, yeah, yeah. Man, I got up there and I couldn't hear the beat. Like, they don't give you, like, you know why recording artists on stage, like, doing performances have those earphones? It's so they can hear the music.
That's right.
Otherwise, you can't. Well, I got, and I couldn't hear the music that was going on because of the crowd. So I literally was off beat the entire time. And ruined it for white people everywhere for the longest time. Because they were like, oh, typical white guy. He can't even stay on beat.
And you weren't Eminem from Lose Yourself because you were prepared. You were cocky. You were confident. You were going to knock it out of the park. You were fourth base.
I knew.
MC fourth base.
MC searching for a friend after that because I got, it was tragic.
Where was Kokomo's?
And my friends, I
want to say I've heard of it. Where was Kokomo's?
Kokomo's was, I want to say Veterans Memorial. It was off of 1960.
Oh, so it was Northside.
Yeah, it was Northside. Okay. But, oh, God, it took me forever to live that down with my friends. Like, they would not let it go. It crushed my soul for many, many years. It did.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it ruined me for a very long time. That may be why I didn't get into comedy right away either. Like, I didn't get into comedy until, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
So was there, like, a mental block after that? Like, you were freaking out?
Yeah. That's when I stepped aside and just started producing more and stopped rapping. Because then I was like, well, maybe I'm not cut out for the stage. I'll just be a backup dancer and a producer.
All right, before we go to break, Larry wants to get in here. Larry, what's up?
Hey, guys. I have a two-parter here for y'all.
All right, what's up, Larry?
The Saturday night fight, Triple G, did y'all see a weakness in there that if he fights Canelo, that Canelo can take advantage of? And who has a better white booty, Casey Curry from Channel 13 or Rebecca Sparrow from Channel 13?
Can I just pass? I'm going to pass on those and let you guys duke both of those
out. I don't know. I can't recall the Channel 13.
I'd have to Google them.
I'd have to Google them.
Yeah.
But in terms of Triple G, yeah, maybe.
You guys are going to be just fine if you just let it go. You're going to be disappointed, but go ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
Going to be disappointed?
Yeah.
So it's a neither?
I would think, yeah.
Okay. At least he didn't say who's got the better ass, Casey Curry or Lisa Hernandez.
God, that Hernandez chick, if someone could get with, she is phenomenal.
Woo!
Good night. You could bounce quarters off that thing. You guys want to break down?
That's the one. I'm not going there. I never make fun of a man's wife.
Triple G on this guy and break it down for him? That.
I didn't watch the fight, to be honest
Nick,
with you.
Nick, you did.
Listen,
I didn't watch it either. I tried to.
I got to be honest with you. I gave up on boxing a long time ago. Before I got into MMA, I was a huge boxing fan. Huge boxing fan.
Okay.
And then I gravitated towards MMA. And I liked both. I could appreciate both for what they are. But then I really felt like for a long run there, boxing stopped trying. Like there were no great matchups.
There weren't the big heavyweights.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. That's been part of the problem with boxing is once the Klitschko brothers went away, they really lost the luster. Yeah. There's always been a great heavyweight champion that attracted the average person to boxing, and that doesn't exist anymore. No one, I know Triple G is that supposed to be that guy, but you almost feel like boxing aficionados are begging you to watch and like this guy.
No disrespect, but do you think that helped to elevate MMA quicker? Because at the same time, boxing was on the huge decline and didn't have that kind of larger-than-life character to get behind. MMA was on the fast rise anyway, and it seemed like they could not only take their own star, but they could take boxing with them.
I just think that when MMA started promoting their fighters, they started promoting their fighters on the undercard and the lower cards. And so when you, like, especially like 05, 06, 07, you really started to see fans come to the fights early. They wanted to see the undercard and the co-main and stuff like that, and you just didn't see that in boxing. And I think that's the biggest thing that hurt them, or one of the bigger things.
Don King to me really hurt boxing. And then you felt like I felt like there were a lot of fights that were not on the up and up. You always felt like, man, that guy, like Pacquiao, seemed like he got passes a lot. Like you always saw guys fight chumps until they got that one big payday, and you just don't get that in MMA. So I mean. Sorry, I didn't watch it, but yeah, I've not watched really a boxing match at all. Every once in a while, I'll catch an HBO, but okay,
you guys
major. Get.
You guys need to know that coming up, we've got it's Monday, So that that means another magical movie moment with Trey.
Close enough.
That's coming up at 2:30.
Close enough.
Okay.
Monday movie moments with Trey.
Movie moments with Trey. Yes, I know.
We're doing
Mommy Dearest, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be good.
And bloopers.
And while you guys Google Casey Curry and Rebecca Spira, I want to tell you guys about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a fantastic program helping kids in Houston, Texas get a second chance at an education, and you can help the process. All you have to do is look around if you got an old clunker, whether it's working or not, a car, a boat, an RV, a motorcycle, whatever you got running or not, they'll take it. And what they'll do is they'll turn it into resources so that kids can have what they need to try and get an education. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Let them know what you got. That's all you got to do. They do the rest. Do the paperwork. They send out a tow truck. They come and get it. And best of all, you get a tax deduction, which right about a month from now is the time that you need to make sure that you have all the deductions in order. So before you do your taxes, you can get a tax deduction just by using the Cars for Kids program. And again, once you're done with that vehicle and all that stuff is done, they then turn it into resources for kids going to school, like book money, eyeglasses, bus fare, warm meals. It's a fantastic program. You can not only make a difference on your taxes, but also make a difference in kids' lives. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Let's all go to the movie.
Take two.
Mark. And action.
The Usual Suspects present Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Funny like I'm a clown? I amuse you?
Then the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir.
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch?
All right, it's that time, 2:30 on a Monday. You know what it is. It is Monday Movie Moments with Trey. When we debuted this, it was the monologue from Training Day. Last week was, what did we do last week? I don't even remember what the hell it was.
I don't even remember now.
The movie I haven't seen. The There Will Be Blood.
Oh, yeah. Well, he drank your milkshake last week.
That's right.
And this week, we take it all the way back to a classic. Trey reenacts the most famous scene from Mommy Dearest where she goes and yells at her daughter for having wire hangers. Here it is.
No wire hangers! What's wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire hangers! Ever! I work till I'm half dead and I hear people say, she's getting old. What do I get? A daughter who cares about as much as a beautiful dress as I give her as she cares about me. What's wire hangers doing in this closet? Answer me. I buy you dresses and you treat them like some dish rag. You throw a $300 dress on a wire hanger? We'll see how many you got hidden in here. We'll see. All of these are coming out. Out! Out!
Oh, God. I wish you could have been in there when he did it. First of all, he screwed up half the lines.
Did he really?
He couldn't get it right. And then he wanted something to throw. And then you heard that noise. That was him throwing paper towels against the wall.
Was it?
Was this the one where he tried to do it? He did it with his left hand and said he's left-handed. Yeah.
And I don't even know what outtakes we got. I just know that while we were doing this one, it all went south. Like, he messed it up a bunch. So let's just hear what blooper reel Michael Carroll put together for this.
Which microphone is it?
That one.
Okay. All right. Do I go?
No wire hangers! We'll see how many you got hidden in here. We'll see. All you got is coming out, out, out! Out!
I don't want to hear it.
No? You don't want to hear it?
I don't want to hear my own voice.
Why?
I don't know. I thought that those paper towels are going to hit me in the face or something like when I throw.
Did you thought they would bounce back?
Yeah, I thought they were going to bounce back and hit me in the face. All of these dresses are coming out, 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 out!
The first one had more anger.
Yeah.
You were over the top more.
Yeah.
But you got that one right. Except for the throw. That was weak. Like, what were you? Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Oh, well, that's why it's a weak throw. You did left-handed. You nonchalanted it.
This is the left hand?
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
I'm dyslexic.
That's your right hand. Dyslexic means you read words backwards. Not you don't know.
Not from what
right.
Not from what I was told. They told me that I forgot. All of these are coming out.
This is what I deal with
out.
In there when we're trying to put these together.
Out, but, out, out.
You told me to freak the out.
Well, you knocked two papers off. I wouldn't exactly say that's freaking out, but all right.
You haven't seen what I've done. I've knocked three papers over one time.
My God.
Sounded like he walked through like fire ants. Out.
Yeah.
Out.
He goes,
out.
Because I told him, go crazy, man. Like, she went nuts. Go crazy. He goes, all right. Out. Out. And then there was like a stack of papers on the desk, and he just kind of, he like mushed them a little. He's like, ow. And like two papers fluttered. I was like, really, dude? Like, that's going crazy? The outtakes dealing with Trey are way better than the actual scenes.
Yeah.
But he did good on that. He didn't hold back. I can't wait until next week when we do Full Metal Jacket.
There you go.
It's pretty
good. It's a good one.
It's pretty good. So,
and, yeah. And as always, though, Trey is concentrating mostly on Trey.
Yep.
I just walked out to use the restroom. Trey, how you doing? Hey, buddy, what's up? I'm good. Everything's good. I'm feeling good. Everything's great. After about 5 minutes, I went, I'm doing good, too. Thanks for asking. I just kept going. Everybody started laughing. I was like,
apparently, he lost his keys on a trip to get John Granato golf balls and Uberito. He somehow lost
his
keys.
Yeah, that's what he was telling me when I walked in studio.
And then he goes, I was like, during a break, I walked out there. I was like, hey, did you find your keys? He goes, well, I found one of them. I'm like, how do you lose one
really?
Key? Like, don't you keep them on a key ring with the rest of the keys? Like, if I lose one key.
That's one thing I do all the time.
I'm losing
I lose keys
all
the
keys.
Time.
Yeah. Was he able to drive? Because you would need your keys to drive the car as well as, like you said. I mean,
I have no idea.
I does it surprise
know.
You? No wonder why Granato left mad and goes, hey, if my burrito shows up, you can have it. I go, what burrito? He goes, ah, long story. Well, that makes it very short now.
That's what Dell was telling me. He's like, man, I got to wait for Trey to bring me my Uberito. I'm like, where's he at? He's like, I don't know.
So do we know if he found his keys?
Well, he's here, so he had to have found at least his car key. I don't care if he gets in the house or not.
Could have had someone drive him back to the station.
Whatever. Oh, that's true.
Can't miss work.
That's true. Yeah. You don't want to get docked no pay that you're
not getting.
That's
exactly right.
Apparently when we got asked that question, people are now texting in Rebecca Spear all day. I would cut off my arm for one night with Jennifer Reyna from Channel 2. Sat next to Casey Curry at a Texans game. She's white girl thick, nice booty and everything. Every Houston News female best anything goes to Jennifer Reyna at Channel 2.
False.
So these
100%.
I like
false.
The jokes. Joe's like, false. Lisa Hernandez all day, every day.
Every day. That's exactly right. In my case.
Somebody was saying that Thursday's show with the Blitz was fun that I did with them. That was fun. Thank you for the kind words, sir. It sounds like it doesn't take Trey too much to sound like a woman. That was from all texting, no tweeting.
Nick, you couldn't see this whole shenanigans on Friday when Trey was macking on this chick.
Oh, God.
But literally, he said he was leaving. He was gone, leaving. All of a sudden, we turned to our right. He's in like this long booth with this chick. And we're all like, oh, my God, I think Trey's making a move here. But the moves... And again, the people listening can't see, but literally it was like this. It was like, and then he would curl his hair a little bit.
He was petting his face like
petting his face.
Who was the dude that used to do that at the free throw line? Hornacek? Was it Jeff Hornacek?
Yeah, Jeff Hornacek, right.
Yeah, you know, he used to do that to say hello to his little girl. Like before he would shoot a free throw,
right.
He would rub the side of his cheek with just like his four fingers. He would just kind of.
So he was doing that.
Yeah, that's Trey's like, sup, girl. And
he
that's
was
his, like.
He was twisting his hair with his pointer finger. And then he did the full on, you know, like in movies. And someone actually tweeted a video of, I think it was Lucille Ball because she had red hair doing it. But he literally was going. And like.
The hair whip?
Oh, the hair whip.
That's what
yes.
I said. He looked like Willis Smith at one point.
And he did pull a cagey move. He had a sip of tweaker. And then he put like.
he freaked out, man.
He took his hand but right by his Adam's apple and started like if you were going to imitate what that sign really means. And then was like, oh, I think I'm choking. So she goes, here, take some of my water. So he not only put her straw in his mouth, but he did it twice within like 45 seconds. We're like, and AJ goes, I think you almost officially kissed her by doing that. No, that's not true. I didn't experience that. I just took her straw.
Well, it's like I said last week. I was half expecting him to come over and be like, dude, we held hands. It's pretty sweet.
Like, really?
Yeah, I wore a glove, though. Safety first. I always have protection. Like, that's Trey's version of safe sex is wearing a glove when he holds hands.
And I'm surprised he hasn't come flying into your room yet.
Of course.
To flip us off.
He knows better. He knows better. We had long talks. But Trey was... and then we all kind of got mad when that girl's boyfriend showed up.
Yeah, because we didn't know who he was.
Yeah, AJ and I were like, yo, what? Like, we were kind of ready to go. And then we found out that was her man, so that made it okay.
Dang it.
Then Trey was just that other guy.
It wasn't just you.
Trey's the side chick. He's the side
Because I was like, who the hell is... Someone better find out in a hurry who the hell that guy is.
But Trey was still a hero because now he's a side piece, which who wouldn't want to be a side piece?
Oh, but, but the side looks that guy was getting when Trey was moved in
that
on
poor
was,
guy. Yeah,
it was funny and it was not funny all in the same. All right, we got plenty more show to get to. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text us or call us. Or, of course, tweet us as we are here till 4 with the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick. Joel, till 4, almost 2 in the books, 1 to go, a little more than that. We'd love to have you be a part of the show. We love it's interactive, and you guys know that. So please feel free to chime in, 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Barry is funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here fielding calls now in an area that I'm a little uneasy about, but we can get into it. Eric wants to talk about Rebecca Spira. Go ahead, Eric.
Yo, there
you
go.
What up, man?
Yeah, we're just... I would drink a gallon of Rebecca Spira's pee just to see where it came from.
Do what?
Say that one more time.
I would drink a gallon of her pee just to see where it came from.
You would drink a gallon of her...
You might want to dump him.
Yeah.
It might be too...
Of her pee just to see where it came from.
Yeah, that's...
So you need a hobby. Okay. So that's been said.
I don't know
what... Why do people... And what do you benefit by doing that on the radio?
I don't know. Let's move on.
Yeah, that's not good.
You guys are weird. You know what? I get it now. You know, I would always ask Fred and AJ, like, why don't you guys always take calls on the Blitz? Like, you know, I get it now. I think I see why, because sometimes you guys just try to clown, and it just is. I'd be all right with it if it was even
funny. If it was funny.
Yeah. I mean, even if you got funny, dumped and it was funny, that'd be great. But it can't be lame and you have to get dumped. That makes it worse.
Without question. It's just, I mean, like some of the other ones, they don't deserve the attention, but we've had a couple lately where, I mean, and you were good to be critical of them too and break it down. If you're going to do that, at least be creative so that
that's
it is,
all I want.
So that it is funny.
Just make me laugh, at least. I'm like, I laugh at everything. It takes very little to make me laugh. It should be easy to call in here and make me laugh. It really should. Just don't be lame. That's all I'm asking.
That
I don't care if you
lame.
Get dumped. I don't care if you get dumped. That's fine. We get it.
So get a hobby and don't try again. So with that being said, I don't know if you guys saw this, and we still have to get to the Rockets too, but supposedly now, and it's a hot topic. I said supposedly. Did I not? Okay.
Yeah, you had it doesn't matter.
Ray Allen not invited back to the Celtics 2008 championship celebration. Supposedly, Rondo... who's in, I guess, somehow got in charge of that, which is ridiculous in itself, said that they took a vote and they didn't want him. The players didn't want him. I find that hard to believe. Now, not all name dropping out of this. I know Ray personally. He is a friend of
mine.
And I don't think there's any way that the entire team would feel that way about one of the best team players of all time and arguably one of the best three-point shooters. But I know that Rondo and Ray had beef, and it escalated throughout Ray's last couple years in Boston. But you won a championship. Doesn't that seem a little bit over the top?
Yeah, it seems weird. Because like you said, I've heard nothing but good things about Rayon.
All class.
I have heard nothing. Now, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. I mean, people have reputations that they try to keep that, you know, they front like they're one way, and then you figure out who they really are. If you, like, put it this way. If you work with them every day, you probably know what they're like. What they make themselves to be to the public is probably totally different than how they are behind closed doors. But when you hear – so, and people talk, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, if people worked with Ray Allen at the Celtics or at the Heat, they're going to know what kind of guy he is, and they're going to be able to tell you that.
And that, most people...
So there's something there, but I don't...
Of it was when Rondo was trying to make a name for himself, right? He's playing with the big three. He knows that all three are going to be Hall of Famers. He knows they're all-stars.
Right.
He was trying to prove that he belonged with that group. He wanted that recognition of, I'm also going to be an all-star. I'm also going to be all-NBA. I'm going to be a lot of things. So at the same time, they were trying to win a championship. He was still, and I won't say as focused, but almost as focused on trying to establish who he was in the NBA.
His stardom.
Right. So a lot of times, and I'd be watching these games, and Ray does what he does, running a guy off a double screen, and you know it's a timing thing. As a point guard, you need to know when he rubs the guy off the second screen and get it to him while he's open because he's buying time to get the shot off. And you'd see Rondo stare right at him, mm-hmm. see him come off the double screen, and then dribble the other way, trying mm-hmm. to get his in the lane. And there's a lot of stories with a lot of people I know in the media that said a lot of times when it got really bad late before the big three was broken up and Rondo, after games, win or lose, you would hear in that locker room screaming at the top of their lungs, things being pounded on and punched and broken, and Doc would come out to do his post-game news conference and go, boy, my guys really take winning or losing hard. They're really trying to talk about that last play. And really what it was were guys were just completely going at each other like they couldn't stand each other.
Wow.
So... I mean, that, but still, the organization's got to step in and say, okay, gang, I appreciate the fact that you guys talked about it and this is what you think. As an organization, we think you win as a team, you get honored as a team. He's got to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was a key component of those championships. He should be there. Whether you're happy with him or not, whether you like him or not, the fact of the matter is he was a part of it. Yep. I couldn't imagine them... You know, the Rockets, for example, with their back-to-back championships, if they were to have ostracized somebody like, you know, Vernon Maxwell or right. whatever, like, he's still a part of it.
Vernon left the team for the second championship in Utah in the opening round or, you know, because Otis Thorpe was only part of one of them.
Right.
You just don't do that.
Yeah.
And as a franchise as storied and known as the Boston Celtics as being a class franchise, you step in and say, timeout. All right, let's just, they should have did it before it even got public, but just say, that's not going to happen.
Yep.
You know, because even in the series they lost in 7 games to the Lakers, game 6, I believe it was, Ray's son is in the hospital. Jeez. and he carried them in that game and got them to game 7. So that's ridiculous, and that's when you're letting personal things get in the way of, you know, what was a phenomenal accomplishment to win a world championship for a franchise.
Pretty sad.
So that we'll see what happens with that. Also, the Rockets and Nuggets tonight. I know that you guys are aware of this, but for you, those of you that weren't over the weekend, Rockets had a back-to-back. Barry called it. I said it on Twitter. Predicted the Rockets would lose in New Orleans while Nick and I thought they'd win, and of course they lost. But James Harden had a triple-double with 40-plus points. And then the following night in Denver, where it's a bad back-to-back, a tough airport to get to and from, a late night and the altitude, he did it again. First NBA player ever to put back-to-back triple-doubles together with 40-plus points in each game.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's just
balling.
I mean, as we've said all season, it's just everybody should be playing for number two. He's definitely proven he's worthy of the MVP. And the big thing now is they just got to concentrate on getting the best seeding against the best matchups so that they can make a run worthy of a player like that in the playoffs.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Do you think Kawhi Leonard sneaks in?
Now, Nick, didn't you tweet this weekend that you think that in the MVP race, Kawhi's the odd man out now?
I didn't tweet that. I didn't tweet that, but I just said that one time we were talking about.
No, I thought I saw the tweet this weekend where you're breaking down after Harden's big game, and you're like, and you broke down Harden, and then Bron, and Westbrook, and then that Kawhi would be out.
No, I didn't tweet that.
Okay, I thought I saw that, but
Yeah, I mean, I think he I don't know. I think the race has excluded him.
You do?
Temporarily.
Okay.
Temporarily.
But like I said, I mean, a couple of weeks ago when we, because we've been, it seems like we talk about this just about every week, but, you know, it's one of those things where I think the scale continues to slide until the end of the season. You know, as Harden goes back-to-back 40-point triple-doubles, he's going to obviously move up. And but then, you know, Kawhi is going to come back, and let's say he shuts down, you know, a couple of teams back-to-back, and he goes off for a triple-double or something like that. Westbrook's going to get more. So I think it's always going to be that sliding scale. But I just wonder if you're going to put that much emphasis on positioning at the end, you know, how much does that play into Kawhi Leonard's favor?
Well, I mean, it's funny because remember after the play on both ends and the big game where he matched Harden statistically, he was the sneaky pick, the sexy pick to slide all the way to the top.
Yep.
And then he doesn't have a great game in a game where Westbrook goes off against OKC, and then they get their team back where he doesn't have to do as much because they get Gasol back and Aldridge back and they're getting healthier, and suddenly he's kind of by the wayside again. But that's the thing. Consistently, what I like is James has done it through the entire year, and even more so because it's, again, a topic amongst NBA people. This taking a night off to rest is starting to become a really big deal, and James has said, D'Antoni knows not to even bring it up to me. I won't do it. That stands for something in itself.
Yeah, good for him. I like to hear that kind of thing.
So where are you guys on that, too? I mean, are you into this whole millennial superstar thing where you can take a night off to rest? Or do you like the old school guys that said, I never would, I never have, I never will, and these guys shouldn't either? But that's something we can talk about, as well as preview the Rockets and the Nuggets coming up tonight at the Big Sequoia. So we can talk about that. Plenty more to get to. Please feel free to be a part of the show, the usual suspects, by texting us, tweeting us, or calling us. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5. Good night.
That's nice, ESPN 97.5.